Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 161, entitled How to Be Relentless and Have a Mindset for Success Every Day, I chat with Jeff Bandman. Jeff Bandman is a former U.S. Army Ranger and CIA counterterrorism operator and current high-performance coach, and he's also a former guest on the Elite Man podcast from a few episodes back. In today's episode, Jeff talks about how to have a relentless, never-let-up attitude and how this powerful mindset can lead to massive success. Jeff talks about his experience being a U.S. Army Ranger, what the training for this entailed, how this conditioned him to overcome his fears and face any type of adversity in life, and how it's cultivated his world-class mindset today. If you're wondering how to be relentless in your life every day and how to develop this incredible mindset for success too, check out this episode now. You are going to absolutely love it. Also, Jeff and I talk about his new coaching program later on in the episode. If you are interested in checking that out, go to jeffbandman.com/eliteman to get 50% off the coaching program. It's a badass, kick-ass program, 10-week-long program that's going to give you the fast track to success and being relentless in your life as well. So that's jeffbandman.com/eliteman. And I am an affiliate, which means I'll get a small cut out of that if you do choose to sign up for the course, but I only highly recommend the best coaching programs in the world and only work with the best coaches, and Jeff happens to be one of those guys. So feel free to check it out. Again, it's jeffbandman.com/eliteman.
Hey, if you haven't signed up for the Elite Man newsletter yet, go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter. This is an incredible newsletter which helps you become the best man you can be. Every single week, we give you the best tips, strategies, and techniques for helping you master your personal, social, and business life, and give you exclusive content not seen nor heard on the podcast or anywhere else. That's elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter. Sign up right now. And now, a word from our fantastic Elite Man podcast sponsors.
The Elite Man podcast is sponsored by HealthIQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/elite to support the show and see if you qualify. HealthIQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-minded individuals. You, being an Elite Man podcast listener, are almost certainly among those health-conscious people. That's why you should really listen up. HealthIQ can save customers up to 33% because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. So HealthIQ rewards you for being active and taking care of yourself. How cool is that? Look, you never know what's going to happen, especially if you're married, have children, or you've had personal scares or family members dealing with health issues. This is something you definitely cannot take lightly. It's so important to make sure your loved ones are kept safe no matter what, and HealthIQ helps you do that. It's the fastest growing life insurance company in the world with over $5 billion in coverage, and they're rated 9.6 out of 10 by Trustpilot. Do yourself and your family a huge favor and check out HealthIQ. To see if you qualify for an incredible savings of up to 33%, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/elite, or mention the promo code ELITE when you talk to a HealthIQ agent. Again, that's healthiq.com/elite.
RX Bar is a whole food protein bar that I've been eating like crazy for the past few days. Why? Two reasons. They are healthy and delicious. I absolutely love these little treats. They're made from 100% whole ingredients, and RX Bar is totally transparent about their ingredients. They cut out all the additives, fillers, and chemicals found in so many other protein bars on the market and stick with the plain but tasty ingredients that make protein bars healthy and delicious. They're gluten-free, soy-free, and dairy-free, and there's no added sugar. In fact, the three core ingredients for all RX bars are egg whites, dates, and nuts. And quite honestly, I think they've nailed the healthy and delicious combo to a T. I just got mowing down their chocolate sea salt bar and absolutely loved it. This is one of my favorites. But they've also got 10 other incredible flavors as well, which are equally fantastic. I highly recommend you check these babies out. To get 25% off your first order, visit rxbar.com/elite. and enter the promo code ELITE at checkout. Again, that's rxbar.com/elite and use the ELITE promo code at checkout. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is Jeff Banman from JeffBanman.com, and also from episode 155, I believe, a few episodes back, a second-time guest on the show. Jeff, thanks for coming back, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, really excited, man. As I mentioned in the last episode, the last interview we did, I wanted to cover, I mean, your background is pretty eclectic. You do a lot of things, and currently you're doing life coaching and performance coaching, taking guys to the next level, which is really cool. But you also have a very interesting background in being a U.S. Army Ranger and also a CIA counterterrorism operator, which I think is just really cool and fascinating. So as I mentioned before, I wanted to bring you back on, kind of pick your brain and talk about some of the lessons you learned whilst being these two, in particular, these two occupations, I guess. Having these operations. So let's kind of pick up the conversation from there, from where we left off, man. What was it about being an Army Ranger that drew you to want to take that career path?
Yeah, man, I don't know. I think, you know, I was transitioning, so, you know, you back up a little further than that. If you remember, you know, I started as a fireman at age 16, so outside the DC area really early, and then, you know, all through the rest of my high school time, getting all my schooling done, getting that complete, and then literally getting hired, I think, a month and a half after I graduated high school, I was a career fireman, which back in the early 90s was what everybody wanted to be. So it was rad, right? But then, you know, a couple of years in, I'm kind of sitting around like, all right, is this it? I mean, is this what I'm going to do for the next 20 or 30 years? And, you know, I had that itch to scratch. I mean, and so I started researching. I started calling everybody. I mean, this is a cool conversation. Like I had a 45-minute conversation with one of the recruiters from the DEA. Cause I was just calling guys like, hey, listen, I'm 19. I'm currently a career fireman. I'm not ready to come to work for you, but you know, if I showed up in a few years, what would you want me to have? And so I had that conversation and I called CIA, I called DEA, I called FBI, I called ATF, I called everybody. And I built these files around it and just the amazing conversations I had and the crazy information I got back. Like the guy from DEA was like, go get your private pilot's license. We need pilots. I'm like, wow. Okay. We never thought about that. But, you know, in having all those conversations, I knew I probably wasn't going to stay in the fire service for the rest of my career and wanted something different. And, you know, the military seemed like the right option, right? It seemed like the next step. It was a time in my life where it was time to be physically challenged, mentally challenged at a different level, take something new on. And I ran into this crazy freaking cat. What was his name? Sergeant Harrison Hollywood, right? Out of First Range Battalion, who was a recruiter at the time, finishing up, getting ready to retire. And this guy just literally captured my attention. I was like, all right, this might be a guy I could hang out with, you know? And just looking at kind of who he was and the qualities that he had and the way he carried himself, you know, it sounded like a good idea at the time. And then months later, maybe not. But no, it was fantastic. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly what drew it to me, but I think that fundamentally, if I was going to go into the military and serve, if I was going to do that at that point in time, to me, I'm the kind of guy that says, you know, everybody tells you go in and get a job, go in and get, you know, something that'll apply outside. No, if you're going to go in the military, fuck that. Like go be badass for at least your first stint, if not your two first stints. I mean, go get after it, right? And then if you want to change to intelligence or whatever, computer stuff, go do it, right? But just go do shit you're never going to get to do ever again in your entire life. Jump out of airplanes, blow stuff up, you know, crazy stuff. So yeah, man, I just took it on, dude. And it just seemed right to me at the time. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into. So, I don't know if there was something particular that drew me, but it was just, I don't know, seemed right.
So what branch was it that you, was it the Army that you initially?
Yeah. Entered? So,
so for how many years?
Yeah. Went to the Army, spent my 4-year stint, did my first half with 3rd Range Battalion, based in Columbus, Georgia. Right underneath the flagpole there, and then did my second part in a reconnaissance unit up at Fort Bragg.
So the Army Ranger, that's one of the more elite branches in the military, correct?
Yeah, I mean, back when I was in the 90s, you know, I guess it was probably a tier two unit at the time. It's now, you know, a tier one. I mean, everybody's kind of elevated their game since September 11th, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's radically different today than it was when I was in. Again, I'm an old guy. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, Ranger Regiment was founded on the premise that there needed to be something unique in the Army, something different. You know, Ranger battalions and Ranger Regiment itself really doesn't kind of coexist with the rest of the Army. The focus at that point was you spent, you know, a time period at regiment, and then you went out to the rest of the Army to kind of carry those values and that, those standards out into the rest of the Army, and then you could come back to battalion. And I think today most guys can just kind of live there if they want to be there constantly. But, you know, I mean, these are guys that are, you know, scaling Pointe du Hoc, you know, in World War II, you know, during the, invasion. Right. And I mean, this is, you know, Third Battalion were the guys that were, you know, in Somalia in 93. I mean, these are the guys that are operating at the edge of the spear. And so it was just rad and just a privilege to even be kind of there and in the room and operating there, right? And just being a part of it is this stupid private at the beginning of it going, I don't know what I'm doing.
So when you first go in there for basic training, like how scary is it? How crazy of an experience is it? What are your thoughts? What are your emotions like when
you first step into it? Dude, it's pretty nuts. I mean, you know, I was a little bit older. So I was 21 when I went in. So I was a little bit older, had a little bit more maturity around me. I mean, I had been to probably, you know, 500 working fires, had pulled people out of burning buildings, had cut people out of cars, had done all kind of crazy shit by then. So I had something behind me. And still, you know, I could, to this day, I can remember, you know, going through the process, and ultimately when you finally get to basic training, I can remember, you know, very distinctly sitting on my duffel bag, and this big dude comes out. I mean, you know, to describe him, he's got to be like 6'8", right? He's probably 5'2", but in that moment he was 6'8". And he walks out with his drill sergeant hat on, and he looks up and he's like, gentlemen, welcome to the House of Pain. And I was like, oh shit. what did I just do? So I don't know, man. It was scary and nervous, and you had no idea, and your life was not your own anymore. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna pull any punches and be like, oh no, it was great, it was phenomenal. It was scary as shit, man. You had no idea what the hell you've gotten yourself into. And then of course I'm sitting there going, shit, man, I just walked away from a career to do this. Did I make the right choice? And you know, ultimately it was great.
How did you deal with your fear then at the time? Like, I'm sure a lot of emotions going through you, especially, I know they, from what I've heard anyways, I know they restrict sleep, they restrict food a lot of the time, like the amount of food you can have, and they just kind of play a lot of mental games, or they just to like fuck with you and test you and really put you on edge. So how do you deal with those different stresses and just crazy shit going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you know, you hear all the stories about stuff, and things get a little bit more difficult, right, as you progress through your career, right, as you move on. It's like, you know, you go to basic training, then you go to airborne school. And for us, you know, in basic training for us, our lead drill sergeant was a guy out of First Ranger Battalion. So he just killed us, right, made sure we were ready for it. And then we went to airborne school, and airborne school was a huge party for us, and we were pretty much drunk most of the time. you know, because we're young kids in great shape, doing great stuff, and we're just like, okay, this sucks. This is whatever. And then you go to the indoc program at the time, the Ranger Indoctrination Program, which is now called something else. And then it gets really scary and really real, really fast. You know, the guy who ran my program, Sergeant Struker, he was one of the main guys that you kind of read about and understand about. If you watch Black Hawk Down, if you watch any of those, you know, Sergeant Struker was the guy leading the Humvee platoon back in to get these guys. Mm-hmm. And he was my, RIP instructor. So he's one of the leading RIP instructors, and phew, that guy just crazy. And his job was to prepare all of us for that. Right. I mean, that was his mindset at the time. And so it was exceptional, and just, I think you just took it day by day, man. I mean, you couldn't get, you know, it's the same relative to the same stuff we teach today, right? You couldn't get in your head about tomorrow or the next hour or whatever. You had to be there today because, you start letting stuff creep in. I mean, there's, you know, we talk about this today and all the work we do there. You know, there's no such thing as fear in the present moment. Like, fear doesn't exist now. Fear is a projection either brought on by events from the past or something that may or may not occur in the future. And so really, fear doesn't exist. Like right now talking to you, I'm not scared talking to you, right? There's nothing to fear right this second. And so I think the more you're able to stay in what's going on, and that's one of the things that I did my best to do. I mean, I didn't understand, you know, then what I understand today. So just plugging along, doing my best to stick with it. I mean, I had to hang from a pull-up bar for 45 minutes for changing shoes with a guy in formation, you know, I mean, right before it, you know, they called us to attention and, you know, for no other reason than they just wanted to fuck with us. Right. it just sounded like a good idea. You too, hang from the bullet bar, 45 minutes, go. Hands bleeding. You're like, oh shit, what am I going to do? I'm going to get kicked out of here. You know, you're in that space and you just got to go with it. Right. You're just like, okay, well then I'm just going to hang from this bullet bar for 45 minutes. And that's all there is to it.
What is that? What do you think that sort of training does to you, that mental training where it just pushes you beyond, so much further beyond the limit that you're, or the abilities you think you're capable of achieving, like having someone or having multiple people, drill instructors, pushing you beyond, and physically, of course, but also more mentally beyond what you would normally ever be able to push yourself. And then, like, you know, realizing that you can do that kind of stuff. What does that do to your character? What does that do to your being?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it just totally accelerates you. I think what it does, you know, fundamentally, it's all designed to give you exactly what you're going to need in the worst moment of your life, right? I mean, if things go really wrong in a combat environment, you are going to need to know you've got the ability to do something about it. And, you know, all of the training, no matter where you go, no matter what branch of service you come from, you know, whether you're serving in Ranger Battalion or you're in Special Forces or you're a SEAL team guy, doesn't matter, right? It's all designed to make sure you are capable in this moment in time and that you really have no limits. I mean, you begin to get to a place where a good friend of mine, team guy, you know, we had this huge conversation one day and shit, man, your people probably would have loved it, right? We had this whole whiteboard conversation around this idea of by any means necessary. Now that's kind of a terminology used throughout a couple communities, which is you will accomplish this mission by any means necessary. Like, you will do this and by any means necessary. And so what that creates for you is this idea that you are capable of doing so much and accomplishing so much under whatever shows up in your way. You're just going to do it. I mean, you look at the Ranger Creed, right? Though I be the lone survivor. I mean, period. End of sentence. Like, if you're the last guy standing there, you're the last guy standing there to carry on the mission, mm-hmm. right? Not just stand there. You're the guy there to complete it. And that's what that means. And so all of that, all of the screaming and the yelling and the exhaustion and the pushing you and all of that comes down to building that character trait that says, if I'm the last guy on the battlefield, then, you know, I fall back to my commander's intent. You know, the one line out of this massive operations order that says we will do X, and that's all I got. And I'm the last guy and I will do X until I'm no longer here. And that's what it creates for you. It's relentless, yeah. Man, right?
I'm sure, yeah. We were talking about that before we went on, just mm-hmm. that mentality of being relentless.
Yeah.
I'm sure it gives you that confidence, too, that
like, totally.
Once you can do or survive something as, you know, fucking crazy as U.S. Army Ranger training and become an Army Ranger, like, you can pretty much do anything. Anything that comes your way in life is doable, is achievable. You can, I mean, there's no hurdle, I feel like, that's really beyond leaping over and just seizing, or, you know, no challenge that can't be overcome, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're definitely, you're given that opportunity, whether you take it or not is a different thing, right? But I mean, it's just adversity, right? I mean, if you strip it down, I don't mean to make it sound simple or anything, but like, yeah. I mean, even people that have never served in the military have had and gone through huge levels of adversity in their lives. And what they do with that is either use it as a catalyst, right? That says, hey, I survived this. I'm on the other side of this. I took something from this and it's made me more powerful. Or, you know, it inhibits everything they'll do moving forward. So, you know, I mean, I think at the end of the day, that's kind of how I look at it. It's not, I hate to say it, it's not something so special, but it, but it is in a way, right? Does that make sense to you? I mean, is that?
Yeah, no,
it
totally does.
Yeah, because I've met guys who have never served in the military whatsoever, and I would take them to combat tomorrow. Like, I would jock up, gun up, and we would go tomorrow, and I would have no doubt that they would have my ass every second of the way, and they've never done any of that stuff. So I don't think you have to have done those things to have that. It's just you have to know what's happened to get that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I've never been in the military myself, but personally, I feel like I have overcome many adversities and struggles throughout life that it's made me stronger. And I always kind of wondered, you know, how I would fare in the military, but I think I kind of would be one of those guys that'd be alongside, not to sound, you know, arrogant or anything like that, but I think I would be someone that would step up to the plate and be able to handle something like that that came my way, because I've just conditioned myself and learned from a lot of these struggles and adversities and challenges that have really been tough over the years, but have just made me a much stronger, sort of well-rounded person.
Yeah, man. I mean, absolutely. I think that's what I never try to put out, that I've done something you haven't, because we've just done different things, right? We've just traveled different paths. And if you're learning from what's occurred, if you are taking the adversity that you've had in your life, if you know, because life is a kick in the balls. Anyway, you know, nobody exists that life has not kicked you in the balls. I'm sorry. If it has, then it's coming. I hate to tell you. Right? I used to say when I was a fireman, there's two kind of drivers, right? The guys that drive fire trucks. There's two kind of drivers. There's those who have wrecked and those who haven't yet. Right? So, I mean, there's like life is going to kick in the balls, man. It's going to really take you down. It's going to do something to you. And how you deal with that and then what you take from that is what matters. I don't know, man. Going into Ranger Battalion, not a particular choice, like to say, oh, that's what I always wanted to do. I mean, two things I played growing up, right? Army and range and fireman. I mean, I had blue corduroys and brown corduroys, and I would change. I mean, that was my thing as a kid. So I got to live out my childhood dreams. I got to be an army dude and got to be a fireman. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Ranger Battalion, why? I don't know. And it was spectacular and sucked all at the same time.
How hard was that training? Like, what are some of the day-to-day things you had to do? What are some of the challenges they push on you guys?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think the key to understand, I was thinking about this earlier because we knew we were gonna talk about this. And you know, and I think anybody that has served in the military, or if any of your guys have served in any of the units, right? I think they'll get this, which is, you know, the training's the easy part. It's actually being in the unit that is the test of will. So, you know, you take a unit like the 75th Ranger Battalion, or 75th Ranger Regiment, excuse me. The standards and the expectations of performance are so high that, you know, you take on the training, you achieve a certain point, and then you get to the unit. And, you know, we used to have this saying that says, you know, Ranger, like you've got Ranger school, right? 52 or it used to be 62, but now 52 days of absolute suck, kind of a leadership development course. And then if you're serving in the unit, if you're serving in Ranger Battalion, you wear a scroll. That's the patch. And we used to say, you know, the tab, the Ranger tab that you get after you complete Ranger school, you know, it's just a school, right? But the scroll's a way of life. And really that's true, because living in Ranger Battalion, I mean, it is a very different world. You are under it all the time. I mean, it is a, it's its own entity. And so, I think, you know, the training prepares you for a lot of it. And then once you get into the unit, of course, you're, you know, constantly running and gunning and training and doing shooting, moving, communicating, learning different aspects to it, and just preparing you always for that moment. that may show up where the bloom goes up and you're off doing whatever, wherever you are doing it in the world. But you know, I was thinking about today, I think the big thing is, you know, the training that leads you to being a part of the unit. Same thing for SEAL team guys, right? You go through BUDS. And when you look back on it, you know, you get through BUDS and you're like, okay, great, I'm through BUDS. Now I actually have to be a Navy SEAL. Now I have to be an Airborne Ranger. Now I have to be a Special Forces operator, right? There's a big difference. You look back and you're like, well, the training was pretty easy. Now I have to actually live it and be it. And so I think that's the interesting aspect to it. That's the challenge.
Is the tough part of being a Ranger then, is it actually just more of like the expectation part of it, or is it the actual existence part of it, of actually being a Ranger and doing, like, carrying out those missions or operations that you have to carry out? Or is it actually just like the high expectations that you have to live with whilst being that Ranger?
Yeah, I think it's more the expectations that you live with.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, you didn't leave the compound unless you were in a fully starched, freshly starched uniform. You know, that you literally, like, I had six uniforms that were pressed, because if you broke starch, right, if you actually got into a uniform that was freshly pressed, it went in the bag at the end of the day, because you wouldn't wear it again. You know, and just the expectations of who you are and what you represent being a part of that unit. I think that's the harder thing to uphold than going out and doing your job, because going out and doing your job, right, there's freedom in that. Now I'm out operating. Now I'm with my guys. I'm out doing it. But when I'm back in the unit, or I'm back doing things, people are looking at you, and they, you know, they've got an expectation of what an Airborne Ranger looks like, or what a Navy SEAL looks like, or whatever, right? And I think that's really the greater challenge with it.
What was the, I guess, craziest or toughest experience you had to face while being a Ranger? Was it something you can recall, like a specific moment or specific mission you had to do that was just like, you know, life or death kind of thing, or maybe not even life or death, but just like physically or mentally grueling, pushing you to the limit, and making you think that you maybe not wouldn't survive or maybe not complete the mission?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that shows up for me from that time operating, you know, actually being in the world doing stuff. I think probably the place that I hit my limit, right, the place that I really started to question some things, I had an opportunity to go to SEER school, right? So that's the Survival Evasion Resistance and Escape course, mm-hmm, at Fort Bragg, right? The, you know, we're going to teach you how to survive, then we're going to kick you out in the world, and then we're going to capture your ass and beat the shit out of you for a couple of days. And, you know, I think that one, absolutely the best thing I've ever done in my entire life, and the worst thing I've ever done in my entire life. That right there was probably the greatest challenge for me. You know, cause you're literally in captivity for a couple of days, and they've been wearing down on you. And there's, you know, there's a whole story around that whole training evolution. But I think, you know, after you begin to get to a point where you're questioning, you're like, okay, am I actually going to get out of here? is this training, or is this real? Like, am I stuck here? All right, guys, are we going to be done here in a few minutes, or like, so I think there was just some aspects to that was probably one of the biggest challenges for me in the military, right? Was that program. Not in a bad way, not in like some crazy way, but it really, I mean, it took you to your limits. It really took you all the way, to your limits. I mean, I think I still, you know, it's like, I've got, you know, I've got my newborn son, right? He's 3 months old. And you know, it's funny. I was talking to my wife the other day. I was like, well, you know, we're in captivity, and for hours and hours and hours, they would play a screaming baby in the background. And so, of course, you know, today I'm triggered when Declan lights off, right? I'm like, I go, what, you know? Crap. Yeah, man. I mean, it's got a real impact to it. You know, and then they have this stupid thing in the background, like, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Hey, Dad, you're not going to make it, right? All this crap playing in the background as you're sitting in your freaking cell or doing whatever you're doing. So I think, you know, that for that time frame for me, you know, being out in the world and having those things happen, especially having come from the fire service, you know, not anything in particular, right? No particular moment where it's like, holy cow, this is the end of it. But I think there's definitely, you know, some challenges along the way that came about.
Yeah, I've heard from multiple people too that SEER, S-E-R-E training, mm-hmm. is like one of the toughest in all the military branches. It's just like brutal and fucking insane.
Dude, it was, I mean, best thing in the world, worst thing in the world. It was awesome. I mean, it was absolutely, completing it was just unbelievable. It's left a lasting impact. There's
what
no
are some
doubt
of
about
the crazy things they have you do besides the kidnapping thing, which is probably the craziest of course of all, but what are some of the other obstacles they have for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just becomes this mundane kind of daily life thing, right? So they bring us out, and I didn't realize it. I don't know where I was, right? I tell the story, and I'm like, I have no idea where I was during this time. But they have this big thing where they bring out the formation. They want you to salute their flag, okay? Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're like, fuck you. I'm not saluting your flag, right? And so I guess they took the RSO, which is the head officer, they took him over and he refused to salute the flag and they beat the shit out of him in front of everybody and everybody saw it. And then he came back and was like, all right, I stood my ground and now we're in survival mode. So salute the flag. Well, I don't know where I was. I don't know what duty I was assigned to. I have no idea where I was because I missed all of that. And so they call us all into the formation and, you know, they're crank off their national anthem and they're like, okay, now, you know, salute our flag. And I'm in the back of the formation like, fuck you, I'm not saluting your flag. And I'm the only guy, like 32 people, who's not saluting this flag. And I'm like, something's wrong here. And because I was like totally against, right? I mean, everything was coming up in me. I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. This isn't happening. And man, their national anthem stops and these motherfuckers come out of everywhere. I mean, they come screaming through the formation at me like, who is this guy that is not saluting our flag? And, you know, just proceeded to beat the piss out of me, slapped the crap out of me. You know, they had us line up to kiss their flag. I'm bleeding. They're beating the crap out of me. Then I have to kiss their flag. And then they're beating the crap out of me because I'm bleeding on their flag. And, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, man, it's crazy. And then, you know, and then, of course, so I had to do extra stuff. Like every time I went by their flag, I had to pay respects. I had to do this. And then you got to meet somebody and pay respects. And so I'm all the way on the other side of the compound. And these guys would stand on the other side flag and be like, war criminal number four, come here. You know, so I got to like go across the compound, boots, you know, pay respects to their flag, go over, pay respects to them. They'd be like, nothing, go back to work. I'm like, fuck, turn around, you know, pay respects to their flag. And so it was just like this craziness going on. And, you know, I think for me at one point, you know, you're in what constitutes scrubs, basically, like pajamas. You know, it was July, but for me, it might as well have been December. It was freezing cold. To me at the time, you know, you haven't eaten in 3 or 4 days. I mean, I got an apple at one point. But, you know, man, it was crazy. And then at the end of it, you know, they had this guy that we called the bearded one and he would do all the indoctrination. So he would talk to you about American history and then skew it just a little bit. So you'd be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, wait a minute. No, you're screwing with me. You're screwing my mind. Stop it. And so I remember this, I mean, distinctly the last day, and we had no idea, right? I'm sitting there at this point, I'm exhausted, I'm wiped out, I'm like, fuck, we're not getting out of here. And they call us to formation, and the bearded one comes out, and he's got this deep, amazing voice, like this, just, you just have to like listen to it. And I remember him, and he's talking, and he's like, listen, he goes, this is the flag, this is the only flag you will ever pay respects to. This is the flag you will live under the rest of your life. This is the flag. And he's just going on and on. And you're just like, fuck me. You know, you're like, I'm not getting out of here. This sucks. And, you know, and then you hear, like, he goes through this whole thing and you hear from the back far corner, you hear this voice call out, and he's like, group, attention, about face. And you turn around, and it is the biggest fucking American flag you've ever seen in your entire life. And just a line of Special Forces guys all decked out, saluting the flag, national anthem cranks off, you know, and you're just like trying to salute this flag and crying, you know, just completely breaking down at that point in time. And, you know, national anthem ends, the guys rip their shirts off, they go to their instructor shirts, kind of like giving you hugs. It was the most spectacular moment of my entire life. I mean, it was just crazy. Yeah.
So where was it that they were like trying to get you to salute the other flag, and were you like blindfolded at the time or something? You couldn't see the flag?
No, yeah, no, you'd see it. Yeah. So, I mean, at that time, you're talking early mid 90s, you know, kind of like the structure of the school was more based around, you know, a Russian influence or something, some version thereof, mm-hmm. having captured you, right? You know, kind of more Cold War-ish style stuff, stuck in captivity, you know, doing all their stuff, working their indoctrination programs. You know, I've run programs post that training and developing after my time at the agency, and then what I've done for Naval Special Warfare, I've run some some other programs. I've gotten to be on the other side of the table. Right, yeah, totally, man. It was absolutely great. you know, when I got this guy freaking pull the bag off his head and he looks around and it's like coagulated pig blood on the floor on plastic, and then he turns around, there's an ISIS flag on the freaking wall behind him, and, you know, a bunch of guys standing in front of him in ski masks. He's like, holy fuck. you know, I mean, so I've gotten to be on the other side of the fence and orchestrating that stuff these days, and which was totally cool. But, but yeah, so, I mean, yeah, you were there, you were in it. It was a little bit, you know, based on what's occurred since then, right? Maybe a little more old school style, but still, you know, captivity.
Okay, so it was basically like a simulation and some type of Russian flag or whatever, and everyone else, and they're, you know, making you guys salute it, but you wouldn't do it, and they ended up.
Yeah, I was just like, I mean, you know, I'm like, fuck, no, I'm not doing this, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have done this, and they're just flying through the formation at me like, brr! I was like, shit.
Wow. Yeah, that's intense. And for the captivity thing, I know that's a big part of the SEER training. For that, what are your thoughts? Like, I mean, I can only imagine how scary that is after, like, you know, even just a few hours. It's like, what the fuck? Like, when is this going to end? Like, is this, you know, really for real here? did something go wrong? Did I maybe really get kidnapped by somebody? After, like, you know, a few hours, I mean, I think you said a few days. Like,
yeah, a few days into it.
What is your mindset at that point? What are the thoughts?
Dude, you're so tired. You're so tired. You have no idea. I mean, you have no clue. After a couple of days, you're up. You spend about 3-4 days walking forever during your evasion period. You get captured. You spend 3-4 days in the camp, and you have no idea. I mean, you don't even really get to sleep because you got to sit in your, you know, whatever it is, 3x3 cell, and they're coming by waking you up all the time, and, you know, you can't lay down, and yeah, you're just exhausted. So you lose all track of time, and you know, reality starts to shape a little bit differently. And, you know, you're doing your best to hold that, right? You're talking to the other guys like, we're in training, right? Yes, we're in training. Okay, cool. you know, so it's a challenge, man. I mean, it's definitely a challenge.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point, too, you start to get, like, a little delusional, too. And, like,
oh, yeah.
You know, am I sleeping? Is this a dream?
Like, yeah, hey, you know, yeah, listen, go stay up for 3 days, right?
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Take no other stress. Do anything else. Just stay up for 3 days. You know, it's always funny because you're like, hey, Ranger, stop talking to that tree. You know, so, yeah, just that in and of itself wears you out. You add everything else to it. And then, you know, by about day three, you're like, I'm not sure. Are we getting out of here? Or is this because, you know, they've got a window of time. They don't have to release you at a certain point. They've got a window of time to complete the captivity period. So you don't really know when you're getting out of there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm curious too. Is it actually when you said they were like kind of beating you up there, were they actually like, you know, punching you, things like that? Or was it
No, it's all
roughing you up kind of shit.
Open hand and then roughing you up. Yeah. Got to be slaps. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, still enough, but you know, I'm just curious if they're actually like, you know, beating the shit out of you and pounding your face in kind of thing, or is it just more like that? But
It All feels right. like it at the moment, but no, it's not.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does.
Like this, I mean, one of the short little guys, I mean, he would like rip my shirt open. The worst thing in the world, like he would backhand slap me in my belly, like repeatedly, smack, 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 smack. You know, and so you're just like raw after a while, right? And you're just like, stop doing that. And it just becomes the most painful thing in the world. So, I mean, who cares what they're doing? At the end of the day, it sucks.
Yeah, I can remember too when I was like a kid, when I was real little, I used to get in trouble or whatever. My father actually never, and I'm actually for this. I mean, maybe there was once or twice where he actually, you know, kind of kicked my ass, for real. But the majority, the 99% of the time when I was little, I'd get in trouble. He never actually hit me, but it would be like a finger to like the chest and like just press on your chest, like really hard. And dude, yeah. like that was fucking just yep, as bad.
Right.
It's exactly. like any physical thing you could do. It was like just enough to like scare the shit out of you.
Oh and, yeah.
Like, you know, get the point across to stop totally. And it was terrifying.
Yep. You're like, I got it. Right.
Yes. And right. Very, very effective.
Very effective. Right. I think that's the thing about it. I taught a course years ago. I designed a program called the Performance Instructor Course. It was all about, you know, behavioral design and stress application and everything else. And the funny thing out of the class was like, you know, we would walk around and be like, I could kill you with my pinky. Right. I mean, I don't need bombs, bullets. I don't need all the crazy stuff. I can screw you up just with the right things, the right conditions, right? The right circumstances. So, yeah, it's crazy, you know, and it's just how we perceive things.
You mentioned that it was the toughest or one of the hardest things being that SEER training, but it was also one of the best things you ever did or the best thing, best experience you ever had. How was it the best experience? What about it?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it gave me a whole new level of self-confidence, of accomplishment, you know, of kind of my wits about me, what I was actually capable of withstanding. And, you know, the debrief I had afterwards, because they watch you, right? You're on camera. They analyze everything. You have somebody assigned to you, which I had no idea at the time. And so when you complete, they take you in, they take care of you, and then they debrief you. And just the feedback I got really was cool to hear about how I handled myself and what I was able to accomplish, and especially compared to who else was in the class. So, I mean, I think it just gave me this just a new level of confidence around what I could accomplish, right? What I can withstand, what I'm capable of taking, if necessary. And, you know, it was, I don't know, man, it was just, you know, and you can't replace that day, man. Turn around, saluting that flag, seeing those guys standing there and you just being liberated, which is what they call it. Dude, it just, that feeling will just never go away.
Yeah. What were some of the things that they said to you?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I was in a program. I was, E4 at the time, I think, E4 at the time. And most of the guys in the program were warrant officers. And so, you know, they've been around the SF community for a long time, a couple salty guys in there. And, you know, I mean, the debrief that I had was pretty solid. You know, I mean, I'd given them a lot of resistance techniques for every interrogation, the technique they'd given me. I'd done really well in not giving up information and not giving up, you know, delaying what I said and playing the game the right way, in taking care of the people around me. You know, I mean, there was just a lot of good feedback around it that you're like, wow, okay. I mean, somebody really saw that, and I didn't know I was doing it at the time, right? I think that was a cool thing. Like, you had no idea what you were doing. You weren't trying to do anything. You were trying to survive. That was it. And so when you get the debrief in and you really look at the fact, when you look at the numbers and you look at how you performed under those conditions and see that you did really well, man, that's a huge confidence booster.
Oh yeah, it's fucking awesome. It's an amazing feeling too, like having someone else tell you something about yourself that you didn't realize or didn't know you were good at or Yeah. Didn't know you were even doing. I get that even sometimes, like, you know, doing the show here, I'll get like guys randomly messaging me on Facebook or via email, just like saying like, oh, I loved how you did this thing or talked about that and thing. In one of the episodes, I'm like, oh, fucking dude, that's awesome. It like makes my day after that.
When, hell yeah, man. You know absolutely. I mean? It's
fucking great feeling.
Yeah.
I think people need more of that. Other people telling them the things that they're good at, because there's so much negativity, you know, throughout the day.
Dude, absolutely, man. Yeah, just a little acknowledgement, right? I mean, you know, my wife and I have a rule. Like, even if I feel like I want to be acknowledged for something and she has no idea what I've done, I can come home and be like, hey, babe, I want to be acknowledged for whatever, you know, taking out the fucking trash today. And she's like, okay, well, then I want to acknowledge you for taking out the trash today. Good job. I really appreciate it. You know what I mean? But yes, I mean, when you get that out of the blue, dude, that's huge. I mean, yeah, I just every day, why not? You know, it's like I talk to the people that, you know, always I get coffee down at 7-Eleven or up at Starbucks or whatever else. I mean, I know those people, right? I take the time to actually know who they are and say thanks and, you know, all that stuff. It's so important.
No, okay, it goes a long way, man. I try. And that's one of the things, too. I mentioned this a few episodes back on one of the seven ways to be an elite man is to leave people better than you found them, which kind of goes along with what you're saying there. Just
totally.
You know, making people's day that much better. And it's really not that much effort, really. It doesn't take much, but it can have a huge impact on other people's, you know, profoundly. Yeah, so as far as the skills, some of the like essential skills that you learned while being a ranger, what are some of the takeaways you think guys, or most, not maybe not every person out there, but most guys should have as like a basic couple set of maybe survival skills or training skills, you know, variations of the training that you learned in while being a ranger? Is there a couple of key important takeaways of like survival type training?
Well, are you talking about like for general life or for like actual need to survive moments? Like, what do you?
Actually, that's a good question. I guess.
Right.
I guess both. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe more.
All right. So let's go down to the oh shit moment, right? Let's talk about it. Let's get on the deal with holy shit, stuff is happening. What do I need to do? Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I got an active shooter at the mall. I was, you know, wife, kids, we're all at the mall. Fantastic. Shit goes wrong. Right. What do you need to know? What's there? I mean, let's just talk about it. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, absolutely. Number one, to me is my job. We're talking about being an elite man. If you're talking about being a man in general, it's your job to know what's happening, right? It's your job to be connected to the environment and the situation and what's occurring around you. It's just your job. And, you know, I mean, I think you take that from the training and developing, of course, you know, you get that way from what I've done in my life. But I think fundamentally underpinning it, right, you have to take on, it's your job every day to be connected to life, to what is occurring. Because if you're not connected, if you're stuck in your phone or frustrated your kids or barking at your wife or whatever, right, you're not going to see it happen. And you don't want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. You want to be the guy that sees it unfold. You want to be the guy that's actually ahead of the game. When I used to train my people at the agency, right, you're carrying guns out in the world. And, of course, the rules of engagement are you don't get to draw unless something's happening. And I would really put them in the mindset that says, if something occurs, your mindset is, great, you started this, but I will finish it. So I think at the end of the day, you can't do anything if you don't see it. And so, you know, you just, in a day and age where we're so distracted, so absorbed, so disconnected, I think it's your job to be there, right? To be paying attention all the time, because you never know where it's going to come from and you never know what's going to go on. And so, and then of course, once you see it, right, you unleash your actions. You just, I think most people have a very primal instinct to take action when they see something. The question is, did they see it or not? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's when you get real, when you get right on it, I think that's a big piece to it, right? It's the willingness to really just take the actions necessary to accomplish what you need to accomplish. And if that's, you know, I don't know, pulling people out of a burning building or stopping in a car accident or, you know, taking down some freaking lunatic with a gun, whatever it is, right? You do it, right? You take those actions, you do that stuff, or you protect your family or whatever it is, but you're in action in any of those moments. And I think that's what I take away from my life and my history is be aware, be connected, and be in action. I mean, that's simply it, right? And maybe don't take the guy down. Maybe you take your family, right, and move them, right, and get people safe and take care of people. Same thing. Just as good, right? There's no one or the other. You don't have to be something crazy or do something crazy. So, you know, I think that's a huge bar to it. And, you know, really at the end of the day, you flip that, it's no different in life, right? You got to be connected. You got to be connected to your wife or your girlfriend or whoever. You got to be connected to the people around you. You got to see what's happening. I mean, I think that's really the core of, to me, what we're missing in some of men today or manliness today is that we're the ones responsible for seeing it.
Yeah. And then taking action on it as well.
But yeah, absolutely. And then being in action around it.
Are there any other, I mean, that's huge, of course, and that can be applied to, obviously,
everything.
Both, like a life, yeah, everything, and especially like a life or death situation. This is basically like the fucking easy step process to get shit done. Is there anything else?
It doesn't matter what it looks like. Hey, man, in the moment, it does not matter what it looks like. Doesn't have to be cool. Doesn't have to be swoopy. Just got to get done, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've interviewed a couple of, self-defense experts too in the past. Sean Ben Karen, he's a Krav Maga expert. Yep. Tony Blauer, you may have heard of.
Tony. I know Tony. Yeah,
I love the guy. Really good, cool dude. Really big out in the West Coast as well. But all these guys, these you know, top self-defense martial arts guys, they always say that there's no like fucking, you know, crazy action movie move to knock out the bad guy. It's
happening.
Always just something fucking simple, man. It's very, very simple, straightforward, but it gets shit done.
It is. And recognizing that whatever it is going to be a shit show, just step into it. Right.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You know, it's a knife fight in a phone booth, right? Somebody's going to bleed and just go with it.
Yeah. And actually the other thing too, which goes along with your original point or your original step, is avoiding it at all costs, like knowing your environment.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that shit's about to happen or knowing that something could happen and getting yourself out of there before it does is obviously the most important step.
Totally.
Is there anything else, though, you know, regarding the Ranger training that you kind of think, or maybe not even just Ranger training itself, but essential skill that guys should have?
Dude, I think it goes to basic. I think there is, like, today we don't do, you know, we live in a society that doesn't give us some fundamental skills that I think you can achieve pretty easily. Look at what could happen. What if the power goes out for 72 hours? What if the water's gone? What if these certain things happen, right, in your life? What would you be able to do? Can you go out and skin a freaking animal? Can you go out and kill something and skin it and feed your family, right? I mean, simple, basic primal things that you kind of got to ask yourself, could I do that? Right. Am I capable of doing that? Do I even know how to do that? Hell, you could fucking YouTube it today. I mean, you know, I don't care if you've ever done it, at least have watched a YouTube on it. Right. But I mean, like having some, because you know, you watch people get caught when something occurs. And so I think the important aspect to it, when I look back at all the training I've done, all the development I've done, all the operations I've done, right, it is just simply knowing how to handle myself in a variety of conditions and circumstances. And so, and the willingness to figure it out, right? So I've got enough that says, okay, I may have not been developed for this particular situation, but I've got enough that I can figure it out. So really kind of the question is, do you have enough to figure it out? Kind of like you talked about, right? When we're talking about adversity, right? You've been through stuff in your life, you know, more likely you're a guy that could probably figure it out, right? And you would figure it out. I think there's a lot of people that haven't done that yet, right? Haven't taken on kind of the exploration or the events or, you know, gone whitewater rafting or done kind of the little bit more edgy stuff. because all of that builds that internal capability to say, you know what, I am capable of this. I may not know it, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah, no, I love that, man. Is there anything else you can think of, you know, to test yourself, to have that sort of simulated adversity that mimics real life fucking crazy stress or adversity that people face normally, or a way that they can do that without joining the military?
come see me for a weekend. seriously, yeah, it's kind of like what we did with the Atlanta Braves, you know, with the last year. Young guys getting ready to go to the major leagues. They called me and said, hey, listen, we want to run an exceptional program for these kids. You know, these are all kids that are paid a lot of money out of high school, you know, coming out of college ball, not a lot of experience, life experience stuff. And, you know, they meet me at 5 a.m. staring at them going, I don't give a fuck what your signing bonus was or who the hell you think you're going to be. The only thing I care about is the character of the man standing before me. Now put your rucksack on and we're walking. You know, we did 12.7 miles in under 4 hours, and, you know, it felt good in my 40s to walk a bunch of 19 to 20 year old professional athletes in the ground. But you know, we took them through a variety of adverse events without hurting them, but really pushed them, right? Mentally, physically, emotionally, pushed them to their limits. And they got so much from it, man. I mean, so there are all kinds of things you can do to create those conditions for yourself. You know, go do a Spartan race, go do a Go Ruck challenge, right? The guys over at Go Ruck. I mean, I love rucking. I think road marching is the most physically, mentally, and emotionally brutal thing you'll ever do in your entire life if you do it right. And it will push every button and push you to every limit if you do it right. And if you don't know how to do it right, come to San Diego and we'll ruck up and go do it. You know, finding those things and the willingness to put yourself under someone else. Don't try to go do it yourself. You got to get somebody else that will push you there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cause you won't cross your own boundary, but someone will cross that for you.
Someone will force you to do it, which is awesome. I mean,
totally.
Yeah, I love some of the examples too. The Spartan racing or the Soft Mudders out there, those types
totally,
of things.
Totally, man. Put your ass on the line. Like, put your ass on the line. Like, period. You know, try that for tomorrow, right? Go Groupon something that will put your ass on the line tomorrow.
Totally, man. Jeff, just a couple quick questions, man, then we're going to sort of wrap things up. I want to ask you, though, about the CIA counterterrorism operator really quick. What was that kind of like? What was the work, sort of work did that entail, and what was your, like, experience like with that?
I can't tell you. Sorry, I had to say that. you know, it was different. It was very eclectic. I think the group I got to work with was very unique. I got an opportunity to do a lot of very cool stuff around the world. Training, developing units, doing a variety of things, designed and built a unit, helped build a unit in Baghdad that, you know, was producing 85% of the actual intelligence for TF Green, right, for Delta when they were in. So my guys were out, my Iraqis were out developing the intelligence packages, identifying the targets, feeding that back, and then live on UAV feed, here we go, let's get them, kind of deal. So, you know, but it was, I don't know, man, it was interesting. It was an interesting time. It was neat to be able to be out in the world, whether it was in Africa or South America or Middle East or wherever, you know, just starting the process of building and connecting and building relationships and, you know, figuring out where things were. So I don't know, man,
is it kind of like the Homeland show there? Like a lot of that stuff?
You know, I hate to compare anything to anything on the
True, right?
I don't know if I want to go that far. I mean, I like the show, right? I mean, I like the show. I've run some programs. I think in some respects, but you got to take away all the storyline around it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to have a running joke where we'd walk around headquarters and be like, you know, maybe at 15 years, they'll let us see the real CIA because this can't be it.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you know, that's just joking. Right. I mean, I got to tell you, honestly, that organization probably the most exceptional group of people I've ever worked with in my entire life.
Wow.
Just from such diverse backgrounds and doing crazy stuff and just awesome people, right? I mean, just awesome people, from analysts to the people in the basement to everybody, right? Just crazy awesome people. Actually, very neat organization.
That's cool. That is interesting. I'm sure you're right, though. It's not as spectacular.
It's not
glorifying as they show on TV. I mean, it never is, right? But I'm sure there are probably some similarities in different aspects to it. But yeah, it was just kind of a thought, anyways.
Yeah, I mean, there's been great stuff. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know how much I dive into a lot of that stuff. I mean, I think those are stories I save for the bar and hanging out with you when talking.
Person shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Tens but, of thousands of fucking
right. Not launching out on the podcast. Sorry, but, guys. No, hey man, but you know, hey, come have a beer with me. We'll hang out and talk. But no, I mean, I think it was a great time. I loved it. It was such a spectacular experience across the board. I'm so privileged to have had it. I mean, and it came out of nowhere. It literally came out of nowhere for me. So, it was awesome. And it gave me freaking, you know, such an understanding of life. And then later developing a lot of the training that I did and developing a lot of the new standards of practice around training, you know, that's where I dive deep and they open the doors for me to dive deep into human behavior and what's going on and how we're training and preparing people to go out and do really crazy stuff. So I'm so blessed that I had that opportunity.
Yeah, no, and I know you use a lot of the past trainings you had to incorporate into what you're doing now with your coaching. And as far as I know you mentioned something this, but as far as I understand, you have this new thing you're going with, talking about like being relentless, having this like relentless attitude. What's that all about and how are you using that right now in your coaching practice?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it's been, you know, over this last year, you know, we talk fundamentally about the it factor, right? So like, what is it and do we have it or not? And, you know, over these past several months working with the team, running our programs, you know, we're always listening to everybody around us. And, you know, I sat down and one day, I don't remember where it came from, but I was just like, you know what? It's time to be fucking relentless. And, you know, and that stuck. And then I started, you know, coaching it, right? I started putting it out and started putting it to my team and then out to our people and the people around us. And it's funny now, I walk in a room and everybody's like, I'm fucking relentless. Like, I bet you are. And so, you know, it's become the word, man. I mean, because here's the fundamental thing to it. Here's what I love about it, right? You want to know what it is? It is being relentless, period. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to learn around that, right? There's a lot of growth and development around that. But, you know, I mean, you talk about guys being an elite man, right? Every day being an elite man. What does an elite man look like? An elite man is fucking relentless about everything, about his relationships, about his business, about his life, about his workouts, because relentless doesn't exist a week ago or a week forward. Relentless can only exist right now in this moment. And so I love it, man. Dude, it has transformed my life. It's transformed the lives of people around me. Even my wife was walking around now going like, I'm being relentless. I'm like, fuck yeah, you are. Rock it. You know, I mean, it gets shit out of your way and there's no story around it. It is a yes or no. And if you're not, okay, don't be relentless about it. Who gives a shit, right? It's not bravado or friggin' arrogance or anything. It's like just underlying pure commitment to do something, right? And, you know, the cool thing about it is being relentless will tell you what action you need to take now.
I love it, man. No, yeah. And like you said, man, it's really the core principle, the core philosophy of what it means to be an elite man. Like I say all the time, you don't need to be at your end results. You don't need to be a millionaire. You don't need to have a fucking smoking hot wife or you know, all the cars and money and clothes and all that shit. No. It's just about day to day being relentless and going after being the best man you can be, not really comparing yourself to other people, but just being the best that you can be. And
totally.
That's really what it's all about. Jeff, is there a final send-off, takeaway message you'd like to leave. It's been an awesome interview, man. Really do appreciate you coming back on. And then also a place that our listeners can check out your coaching program and this whole concept here that you're teaching about being relentless and getting that it factor. Where can they check that out and learn more about you?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think at the end of all of it is literally when you wake up tomorrow or when you listen to this podcast, just let it sit with you. Like, let the words "be relentless" sit with you and look at what it drives for you. Just take that away. You know, you want to get involved in some things. We're doing a couple things. You and I talked about it, right? We've got a 10-week coaching program that goes on for everybody. So if you want to step in and take that on, no problem. Just for the Elite Man group alone, we've set up a 50% discount for that. So you can go to jeffbamman.com/eliteman, and check that out. Check out the program. If you got any questions on it, shoot me a note, right? Easy. We'll have a conversation about it, get you involved. But really it's a 10-week program designed to develop your it factor. And really at the end of it, I guarantee you, you will be the most relentless motherfucker in the room.
Love it. Guys, definitely make sure you check that out. I am a huge fan of what Jeff is doing, and that's why I partnered up with him with this. I think his program is incredible. It's 10 weeks. It's kick-ass. It's badass. I love it. Man, it's jeffbanman.com/eliteman. So check that out. Jeff, thanks again for coming back on, brother. Really do appreciate it. I know our guys are going to love this interview. I had a lot of fun doing it, man.
So always.
Take care, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, brother. Thanks, man.
And guys, really quickly, just wanted to mention that link again to get 50% off Jeff Banman's coaching program, which I am partnering up with him in doing. It's jeffbanman.com/eliteman that gets you 50% off the coaching program. It's a badass, supercharged to success coaching program. I highly recommend you at least check it out. Link is also in the show notes as well if you want to just click the link or just go to jeffbanman.com/eliteman. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.